Seismologists think a big earthquake could hit Seattle in the next 50 years. And that had some KUOW listeners wondering what that would do to our most prominent landmark. Reporter Anno Boyko-Wyrock went up the Space Needle to find out.
Mount Rainier is out today, off to your left over there.
It takes about 42 seconds to get to the top of the Space Needle, not counting the line.
All right, here we are.
Today, I'm with KUOW listener Derek Hansen.
I kind of forgot how amazing the view is from up here.
Blue skies and puffy clouds surround us. Hansen researches infectious diseases, and you can see his building from here.
A little bit to the left of the Red Crane.
Hansen knows a lot about the immune system, but not about earthquakes.
The Space Needle seems really tall and tippy, and maybe it would fall over or something if there was an earthquake. So what would really happen in that case?
So Hansen asked KUOW, and now we're here to find out the answer. Karen Olson represents the Space Needle. She says the tower is actually not tippy at all. It's made of lots of steel, and the steel would make it sway.
And so if we were up here during an earthquake, we probably would need a little motion sickness medicine afterwards because we would be moving.
Olson says the Space Needle is well-rooted in a massive foundation. And right now, it's undergoing seismic renovations to make it even stronger.
It's probably one of the best places you can be during an earthquake.
Really? The Space Needle? One of the best places you can be during an earthquake?
Well, as a structural engineer that specializes in earthquakes, I would say that's a relatively fair statement.
That's Dave Swanson. He travels around the world and studies what happens to buildings during major earthquakes. Swanson says tall buildings are designed to be flexible.
The Space Needle is going to want to act like an inverted pendulum and sort of bend left and right, kind of like, you know, wheat in a wheat field.
Bending, but not breaking. So you don't have to worry about the Space Needle or its tall, slender neighbors in the Seattle skyline. Instead, look lower. Look at our old brick buildings from decades ago, just a few stories tall. They are much riskier. They're called unreinforced masonry buildings, and they surround us daily.
I love you, baby.
Even when we sing karaoke on Capitol Hill. In an unreinforced masonry building, the brick walls aren't reliable when it comes to resisting the back-and-forth motion of an earthquake. The city has a list of these buildings. There are over 1,000 of them, including the home of the Rockbox Karaoke Bar. One Saturday evening, I meet manager Monchaya Paitunaramit. She shows me the thick wooden support beams in the hallway.
We discuss with the owner, and we want to make sure that, you know, everybody's safe here. So when we talk to them, they send their team in, they take a look at this, and they come up with a solution.
Flat metal braces on top of the wood to hold the beams together in an earthquake. This type of building, unreinforced masonry, is even more ubiquitous than I thought.
This is great. It's like a specimen.
When structural engineer Dave Swanson came in for an interview, I showed him the KUOW newsroom.
Here's a good telltale sign for you. So in an older brick building.
We are also in an unreinforced masonry building. Luckily, our building has been upgraded. Swanson tells me one more thing. There is yet another type of building that we should be even more concerned about.
Concrete buildings called non-ductile concrete buildings.
Non-ductile concrete buildings are from around the 1920s to the 1970s. They're vulnerable to quakes.
A lot of them were warehouses and industrial functions that now, given our urbanization, have turned into lofts and other areas for people to work and sleep and have retail and commerce in.
Researchers have inventoried these buildings in Los Angeles, but in our region, we don't know how many there are. I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock, KUOW News.